tell you what the most important part of defending America is. It is a strong military, that's important. But the Berlin Wall came down and the Soviet Union collapsed without one single American shot being fired. Not only because we had a strong military, but because people behind the Iron Curtain wanted to be like America, and they wanted to be like Americans. And today, after 2.5 years of this president, you would be hard-pressed to find the majority of people in many countries of the world that admire America. And I promise you that as President of the United States, I will restore the honor and the dignity and the respect that America deserves around the world. As Sal said, in my state, virtually everybody under 18 has health insurance, 99% eligible, 96% signed up. Everybody under 150% of poverty has health insurance or are working poor. All seniors under 225% of poverty get prescription benefits. If we can do that in a small rural state, 26th in income in the United States, and balance the budget, surely the most powerful and wealthy society in the face of the earth can join the Germans and the British and the French and the Japanese, the Irish, the Italians, the Israelis, the Canadians, the Danes, the Swedes, the Norwegians. They all have health insurance for all their people. I don't like coming in second, Mr. President. This country. Over 100 years ago, the ownership pattern of businesses in this country was the same as it is in many developing countries now. Multinational corporations, a small group of wealthy individuals controlled most of the production. What the trade union movement did for this country is to make it possible for working people to live a middle-class existence by working in a mine or a factory or now in a nursing home or a hospital or a school. That built the greatest country in the world because we had the biggest middle class in the world. There's a reason I support card check. It's not just because I want the labor vote. It's because I believe that it is impossible to organize low-wage workers and immigrant workers because the employers put so much fear into those folks because if they lose their job, they're one paycheck away from having themselves and their families in the street. We've got to recalibrate the equation between working people and the folks that have at the top. The biggest danger to America over the long term is the growing gap between those who have everything and those who have nothing in this country. And the reason for that is that leads to civil instability. The last time that happened in this country was the Great Depression. George Bush has lost 3.2 million jobs in the private sector since he has been president of the United States. He has lost jobs at a faster rate than any president except for Herbert Hoover, who presided over the Great Depression. If he is reelected, I will flatly predict to you now that we will be on our way to another depression. This country cannot afford 4 years of George Bush. Presidency, we can do better than that. Let me talk for a second about the biggest loss that we've had in this country since President Bush has been in office. It is not the 3 million jobs, painful as that is. It's not the loss of face around the world, which has weakened our ability to defend ourselves. It's our loss of community, of the sense that we're all in this. When I was 21 years old, it was towards the end of the Civil Rights Movement. And it was a very tough time for America. We had lost Martin Luther King, we had lost Bobby Kennedy. We had lost a lot of other people who died in Mississippi and Alabama and other places trying to integrate lunch counters and register voters. But we had the Civil Rights Act, we had the Voting Rights Act, we had Head Start, we had Medicare, we had had the Great Society, we had the War on Poverty. We believed there was hope in America because we were all in this together. We knew that if we left one person behind, that America wasn't as great as it could or should be. We knew that it wasn't just enough to have good schools in San Francisco or in Vermont. It was your responsibility as an American citizen, and mine too, to have good schools in San Francisco, good schools in Vermont, and good schools in Mississippi and in Texas and in Oakland and in Harlem as well. My country back. I want the country back that we believed in at the end of the Civil Rights Movement when we are all together in this. It's a struggle for all of us. This is our country, not the country of Jerry Falwell and Rush Limbaugh and the right wing of the Republican Party. President used the word quota 5 or 6 times in the evening news a few months ago, describing the University of Michigan affirmative action case. Now, the University of Michigan does not now have a quota system, and it never has. And even the most conservative Supreme Court, such as the Dred Scott decision, didn't agree with him on that one. But every politician in America and every pollster in America knows that the word quota is a race-loaded word that is deliberately designed to appeal to people's fears of losing their job or their place in the university to a member of the minority community. In other words, the president played the race card, and for that reason alone, he deserves to be sent back to Brooklyn. I am tired of being divided by race in this country. I am tired of being divided by gender in this country when the president thinks he knows better than a woman what kind of health care she needs. I am tired of having the president of the United States attack Title IX, which gave my daughter the same opportunities in high school that my son had. I am tired of having the president attack us and divide us by sexual orientation by saying what a wonderful senator Rick Santorum is, or that Antonin Scalia ought to be the next Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. I want a president who appeals to the best in us, not the worst in us. So, here we are together on the verge of an enormous challenge. A guy who can get $2,000 checks to all those people he gave tax credits to. And we're going to beat him. And I'm going to tell you how. We have 350,000 people that we've already contacted in our network, 100,000 volunteers in every 450 cities in this country. Last quarter, we raised more money than anybody else. That's nice, but the big deal is we have 150,000 donors who gave us money. Most of those people had never given money to a political campaign before, and the average gift was $86. The way you beat the guy with all those $2,000 checks is you get hundreds of thousands and even millions of people to give you $86, and we are going to win because this country belongs to us, not them. The biggest lie that people like me tell people like you adolescent time is if you vote for me, I'm going to solve all your problems. The truth is, the power to change this country is in your hands, not mine. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from this earth. This president has forgotten ordinary Americans, and you have the power to take this party back and make it stand up and be proud of itself again and stand up for the things that Harry Truman put in the 1948 Democratic Party platform, health insurance for every single American. You have the power to take this country back away from the Jerry Falwells and the Rush Limbaughs and the Dick Cheneys and the John Ashcrofts. And we together have the power to take the White House back in 2004. And that is exactly what we are going to do, because you have the power.